In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So, once again, the second Sunday after Epiphany gives us priests the opportunity to talk about marriage. The Gospel tells us about the first miracle that our Lord worked, and it was at a wedding. And I think every marriage today, young people getting married and people who have already tied the knot and remain together and faithful, is another miracle, not just because of the inherent difficulties involved in marriage, but particularly because of our present situation, which not only doesn't alleviate the difficulties but rather makes them worse and moreover adds new ones. St. Paul says this is a great sacrament. Well, if that's true, why aren't more people getting married? And moreover, why are so many people we know getting divorced? Many after just a few years. Though some of them, perhaps more alarmingly, after 20 or 30 years. Well, I think the obvious answer is because people don't know what marriage is. Now, a priest said to me quite recently, actually, it's no good talking about marriage in a sermon. In front of you, you'll probably have either very old people or children. It doesn't apply to them. Of course, today, there's no one in front of me. Due to the latest irrational knee-jerk reaction of governments throughout the world to a nasty cough and the ever-present reality that we shall all one day die. Since when that is newsworthy is a mystery to me. And anyone who objects to the official line of how this is going is shrilly shouted down and accused of not following the science. The same science, I posit, that is forever changing. Yesteryear's leeches became yesterday's antibiotics. And yesterday's antibiotics have now become today's lockdown. And curfew. How on God's earth can keeping people locked absolutely in their houses after an arbitrary hour of the day stop the spread of a viral disease? It makes no sense whatsoever. It's not happened up here in Scotland yet. It's only in France where they're doing that. No lockdown, but a curfew. One can only shake one's head. Any road, the opportunity to stream this Mass and the sermon in it today means perforce that the words that it actually say have a much wider audience, in fact a worldwide audience. So that's probably a good thing. We do talk in great detail about what marriage is in marriage instruction, but obviously by the time people come to us for that, they've already decided not only to get married, but even the person with whom they are to do this. And I think there's very little chance, humanly speaking, of my convincing two young people in love, as they say, if they've already made up their mind otherwise. So, in the end, I decided to go for saying what the Church has to say about this sacrament, and that obviously in a sermon. Now there are two main analogies in sacred scripture which refer to the sacrament of marriage, and they are the Blessed Trinity and Christ and his Church. In the Trinity, the man represents the Father and the woman represents the Son, and the love of the Father and the Son produces the Holy Ghost. And that is obviously an image of the mutual love of the man and woman producing children. And then in the other analogy that St. Paul gives us, the man represents Christ, while the woman represents the church. The church flows from the side of Christ, in the same way, obviously, that the woman is taken from the side of the man. And the love of Christ and the church produces saints in heaven. And in our daily lives, the love of husband and wife produces children to become those saints. So we see in both of these analogies, there must be a mutual love for one another, but more than that, this love bears fruit. It's not just mutual self-gratification. If two people were to go into marriage with the idea that they themselves are enough for one another, and that a third person in their marriage, i.e. God, is not welcome, or if they exclude the possibility that their love should bear any fruit, well, not only is their marriage not valid, but it's not going to work. Now, this has a particular application in the choosing of a spouse, and I think most jurors, I say a few things about mixed marriages, which, actually, given all I've already said, seems to be obvious, but it bears repeating that if these two images of what a Catholic marriage is, the Blessed Trinity and Christ and his church, if these represent what Catholic marriage is, and you choose to marry someone who does not have the same concept of what marriage is, and moreover, you enter into a lifelong contract out of which you can never leave, then that doesn't really make much sense. I would call it a little reckless. And yet it's done. Regularly done. And that by people who went to society schools, people who were baptized and received Holy Communion from society priests. It's not like they've never heard this in their lives as Catholics. We tell them this, well, I tell them this, every year. Every year there is an exhortation not to go into mixed marriages. So if you get married at 23, you've probably heard this for, well, probably 15 years. Every year, warning of the dangers of mixed marriage. I sought for wine, and I only found water. Well, today's gospel reminds all of us what Christ can do with water if we invite him to our marriage. And of course, insofar as a marriage feast is scripturally very often an image of the kingdom of heaven, if we invite him into our life in general. Cana is an image of the Christian home, blessed by God, where there may be many difficulties and sorrows, but they can all be dealt with by our Lord through the intercession of his Blessed Mother. And it is significant that both are present today at the marriage feast. And it's also significant that they're both present at a marriage feast, because our Lord blesses us not only in our labours, but in our periods of rest and celebration. As this year moves ahead, I'm afraid things are looking a little bleak. I was just reading in the newspaper just the other day, the man who seems to have a mystical authority over the governments of the world, despite all the evidence of his past predictions and forecasts, showing him to be an arrant charlatan. Well, he's now saying that lockdowns must be in place until autumn. Until autumn, he says. People's livelihoods are in grave peril. The scale and power of global corruption seems invincible. Where is all this going? Well, it's in the hands of God. How many times in sacred scripture has God saved his people from an inescapable disaster? even this very small domestic disaster of today's gospel is not outside the providence of God. The most important thing for us is to live that providence. We are not children of this world. We are children of God. And our whole life is a spiritual journey towards perfection. The image of God putting into our marriage himself, or this image of Christ and his church, those are the basis for marriage. And he takes our insipid human love and transforms it into the divine wine of the eternal marriage feast. So whatever our role in the divine economy, we should always strive for perfection. We must strive to be perfect husbands, perfect wives, perfect fathers, perfect mothers, perfect sons, and perfect daughters. And true happiness will follow. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.